So this is BGD 6. We're going to go on from where we left off with the earlier class. So we went through in the third class from gametogenesis, fertilization, the first 2 weeks of development, including implantation and the early events in week three of gastrulation and axial process or notochord formation. Where I'd like to go on in this second class, in practical 6, is to cover from week 3 through to week 8, which is the end of the embryonic period. After week 8, we consider that to be the fetal period. So the vast majority of the first trimester is what we're talking about in today's class. Now clearly, if every single system within the embryo is developing during these weeks, it's a really complicated story to try and explain it system by system. So what I've attempted to do for this particular class is to select little snapshots of events that are occurring in critical systems at time points from week 3 to week 8 that correlate as well with later clinical issues that you may come across. So there's some relevance to you in terms of a medical application for it, as well as your general interest in developmental biology, I suppose. As we go through these 8 weeks, as shown in this animation here, of the human embryo going through the stages, the Carnegie stages of development, remember these are the historic classification systems that we use for characterizing the development through these 8 weeks. Each one of these embryos is to scale with a scale bar at the bottom of the screen here showing 5 millimeters. And therefore, one of the features that you first have to note is that there is significant change in the size of the embryo. So you lose that a lot as we work through the pages and the contents because I need to draw the pictures big enough for you to see all of the details. But you need to be aware that during these weeks from 3 to 8, there's significant growth from less than 0.5 millimeter to 3 centimeters in length. So you need to have that in the back of your mind as we're going through. Externally, we'll be able to characterize the changing appearance of the embryo as different features appear, such as the development of the head, the limbs, the organs within the body. And you should be able to go through and work that out for each one of the pages. And I've tried to put the Carnegie stages relevant to that week at the top of each page. So what I'll do is I'll talk about a particular week. I'll stop and give you a chance to ask some questions from the tutors, and then we'll go on to the very next week. Because we have to keep moving forward and we can't go into a lot of detail, I have put additional information there to try and give you background reading. Firstly, if there are new terms you come across, use the glossary. Try and get a simple description before you ask the tutor. Everything on the pages that appears beneath the heading additional information, that is at the bottom of the screens, is just that. It's additional information to today's practical class, not part of the class itself. So it's provided to give you background information rather than being part of the body of today's practical. So when you get to that bottom list, you've got as far as we need to get. In that bottom additional information is a section called Embryo Stages and Events. This is not a part of the class, and therefore I'm not expecting you to rote learn all of the features as they occur in each week by week stage. It's meant to be included there to give you an idea about all of the events that are occurring within the embryo. So just by reading the brief descriptions I've given you, you might get an understanding as to what's going on in various systems within the embryo at that time in development. And finally, I've included a link to the previous 2008 class, which is slightly a different structure to the current class which I've made for this year. So let's begin at week 3. And if we introduce week 3, equivalent to clinical week 5. So clinical week 5 is from the last menstrual period, about 2 weeks different from our embryonic staging, which goes from fertilization. I'm only going to be talking about the embryo today. I won't be talking about development of the placenta. So all of the placenta and placental membranes will be going through development, and we'll just touch upon a little bit about it to do with the membranes. So what are the events that are occurring in this third week of development? Well, the first one here, and the most critical one, is folding. If you remember, we got up to stage 7 embryo, and it was a big, round, flat disc, looks like a dinner plate. And when we completed gastrulation, we had 3 dinner plates stacked on top of each other. The top one being what? Ectoderm, the middle one being mesoderm, and the bottom one, endoderm. Our 3 germ cell layers will form all of the tissues of the embryo. Clearly, I'm not a flat disc, so we need to do a bit of folding to get me the right shape. So we need to fold the entire disc. And a second event, which doesn't really complete in the third week, it's more of a fourth week feature, is another folding event, and that's the folding separating the neural plate from the surface ectoderm to form the neural tube. And I'll cover it more in week 4 of development. So we can see the ectoderm is being segmented into these different regions when it folds up. The mesoderm is also being segmented in the third week, and the major feature we see is the formation of balls of mesoderm adjacent to the notochord called somites. And these begin to form in the third week of development. This is part of the early segmentation of the mesoderm. So somitogenesis commences in the third week. And the other feature that I'd like you to notice that occurs in the third week is that in the lateral plate mesoderm, a cavity forms called the intraembryonic coelome, and this will form the 3 major body cavities, pericardial, pleural, peritoneal cavities. So that's what we need to understand from this third week in development. Here are the 3 stages of the human embryo that cover this period. If you open those images, you'll see a list of other related stage images, so you can try and get a feeling for the shape of the embryo. You'll see at stage 7 it was still the flat disc, and by the time we get to stage 8, it's no longer a flat disc. So let's consider first the folding aspects. And the folding goes like this. The endoderm is around the front of me here on my ventral surface, on my stomach side. The mesoderm is in the middle, where my body is, and the ectoderm is on my back, around here. That's where we're going to make the neural groove as well. Big round disc, and as the volume of the amniotic space increases, this big floppy disc begins to fold. And we already have in the midline, in the mesoderm, the notochord running in this plane here, up and down the embryonic disc. So we've got a solid core of cells in this orientation. The edges of our floppy disc will begin to fold, and everything folds ventrally. The edges of the disc fold around like this ventrally, bringing all 3 layers, the endoderm here, the mesoderm, and the ectoderm, all around to the front, and close up like this along the length of the trunk. So we've gone from a flat 3-layer disc to a 3-layer tube. The innermost hollow portion is the gut. It's surrounded by mesoderm, which will form all of the connective tissues, and on the outside is the ectoderm, which will form the body wall. Above the end of the notochord, where the buccopharyngeal membrane is, this end of the disc will also fold ventrally. Now, obviously, it's a bit difficult for me to fold that way, but the top end will fold ventrally over like this, and it's driven by the growth of the brain plate. So as the brain plate grows, it buckles it around ventrally as well, bringing the brain over ventrally. Down at the connecting stalk end, down where my feet are, it also, past the end of the notochord, where the cloacal membrane is, end of the notochord, primitive node, primitive streak, cloacal membrane. This floppy region down here also bends ventrally around, bringing the connecting stalk from the end of the disc around to the umbilical region. Let's have a look at that actually happen. So here's a section through our embryonic disc. Blue is ectoderm. Remember, the ectoderm not only forms the lining of the, not only the embryonic disc, but the lining of the amniotic cavity, shown here on the dorsal side of the disc. On the ventral side, shown in yellow, is the endoderm, which also not only lines the disc, but also lines the inside of the yolk sac. And lying between the yellow and the blue is this red or orange middle layer, which is the mesoderm within the disc. And the mesoderm outside of the disc, on the surface of the amnion, and on the surface of the yolk sac, and on the surface of the chorion, is outside the embryo, so it's extra embryonic mesoderm. Doesn't contribute to the embryo. This structure here is our connecting stalk, which attaches the embryonic disc to where the placenta is going to form. So we can now see the, because this is a midline section, you're not going to see the lateral margins fold, but this is a good illustration as to how the cranial end and the caudal end of the disc fold over ventrally. You can now see that the cardiac tube, first forming organ, is folded around from above the buccopharyngeal membrane to lie underneath it now. And this will be the region of where the heart forms. Similarly, the connecting stalk is brought around from the end ventrally to be the site of where later the placental blood vessels will lie within the connecting stalk. As we fold the embryo up, this connection between the yolk sac and the midgut narrows. So as we fold this around here, and we fold this bit in here, the yolk sac used to be really open around here. We've now narrowed it down to a narrow channel connecting the yolk sac outside of the ventral body wall to the gut inside. So inside here, we've got the gut, and outside we've got the yolk sac. The second animation adjacent to it is exactly the same section, but in this instance you're looking at the yolk sac and the amniotic sac and the changing relative volumes of those. Easiest thing to remember, everything folds ventrally. Let's talk a little bit about the mesoderm now. And as I said, for the mesoderm is a segmentation event that's occurring. And we see them forming these paired structures, either side of the notochord, which would be in the midline here, within the middle layer, and they form in sequence from the head region. There's the brain fold, here's the tail, connecting stalk would be down here. We keep on adding pairs of somites down the length of the embryo, in sequence, one after the other, until we have 44 or thereabout pairs of somites. This segmentation establishes the segmental body plan, the segments of the vertebra, the segmental nerves that come out of the spinal cord. All of that rostrocaudal axis is being laid down by the somites. Notice that we don't get any forming in the head region. It remains unsegmented, and it forms down the length of the entire embryo in a sequence. This mesoderm lies adjacent to the axial mesoderm, and so before it was segmented, it's called paraaxial because it's beside the axial mesoderm. When it segments, it forms somites in the body and unsegmented in the head. As we go out on our disc, we've got a strip that lies next to this paraaxial mesoderm called intermediate, and as I said in the lecture, the intermediate mesoderm will contribute the kidneys. We're not going to cover in detail the kidneys today. You'll cover that in cycle B. In cycle B, we do in detail development of the head, the sensory system, the gut, and the genital system. So
So all of those systems today will only be briefly covered in terms of changes that may be occurring. You'll cover those in cycle B. So here's our intermediate related to the kidney. And then the edge of the disc out here, this is our lateral plate mesoderm. The connecting stalk shown at the bottom here. And here's our primitive streak, notochord, paraaxial, intermediate, and everything on the edge of the plate is now the lateral plate. It's within this lateral plate region, in the middle of the mesoderm, that small spaces begin to appear all the way around the edge of the plate. These fuse together to form a single cavity. It's a horseshoe shape, not complete down where the connecting stalk is, all the way around the outside. And this single cavity is the intra-embryonic coelome. And we can identify three major body cavities. At the top here, above the buccopharyngeal membrane in this region, where the heart will form, this will be the pericardial cavity. Either side of this, here and here, in these regions, this will be, when the embryo folds around ventrally, the two pleural cavities surrounding the lungs. The lungs will grow into those spaces. And then finally, the bottom end of our horseshoe, down here near the connecting stalk end, and here, these are two separate spaces, but when the embryo folds ventrally, these two spaces are brought close together and fuse in the midline to form a single cavity in the adult. This is the peritoneal cavity, the three P's. The pericardial, pleural, peritoneal. So with the somites, this electron micrograph in a later stage embryo, and we'll come back and look at this again, there's the folded neural plates form a tube, and here's a somite on either side. The notochord lies between them. All of this is mesoderm. And the lateral plate mesoderm can be seen down here, surrounding parts of the gut, that are down to the bottom of the image. These somites are temporary developmental structures. I don't have somites in me anymore. They form in early embryonic development and disperse. And so parts of each somite contribute similar regions to segmental development. So when we break it into a somite, the early ones have a cavity in them. You can see this somitoceal here. Cell proliferation fills this, so it's a solid ball. And then the mesoderm adjacent to the notochord, this part of the somite here, is identified as the sclerotome. Just lost my microphone. Is identified as the sclerotome. So if the notochord's in the middle, the paired somites at one particular level, the bits next to it are the sclerotome, and these two halves together will contribute the right and the left half of the vertebral body and the intervertebral disc. So as they engulf the notochord, that single level will form the vertebral body and the intervertebral disc. So it's a skeletal structure that forms from it. The dorsal and lateral portion, this bit around here, around the outside, just underneath the surface ectoderm, is described as the dermomyoterm. And it's been called something that's easy to remember what it makes. The dermatome forms the dermis of the skin. The myotome makes the skeletal muscle of the body. So it divides into two, a dermatome and a myotome. And the somite will disperse and spread out, and the muscles will migrate around. The dermal material will spread out underneath the epidermis. And we get, in the end, a splitting of even the myotome into two halves. The posterior portion will form all of these, and you'll do this in gross anatomy, all of the apaxial muscles, the ones which control the vertebra around the dorsal side. The ventral half of the myotome will make the hypaxial muscles, all of the three layers of the muscles of the body wall around the ventral side.
In addition to that, these myotomes at the levels of the somites where the limb buds form migrate into the limb buds to form the skeletal muscle of the limb. So C3 to C5 for the upper limb, those segmental levels migrate into the limb bud to form the skeletal muscle in the limb, and the equivalent lumbar regions migrate into the hind limb buds to form the skeletal muscle in the hind limbs. I'll stop there. I'll give you a chance to ask some questions of the tutor, and we'll come back and talk about week 4.